discussing the Dhammadharastakam from the viewpoint of realized souls, Labhunga Manjari, the beautiful divine form, and Radharani's saving service camp of Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad. How he sees Damodar, how he sees Radha, how he understands everything, and being compassionate by nature to Tikshura Kunika Surida Savadehina. That is the heartbeat of the Vaishnava's compassion. The materialist heart beats with lust and greed. It goes, usually heart says love. Love means labhya. You know labhya? Labhya means lobha. Heart, materialist heart goes lobe, kam, lobe, kam, lobe, kam, lobe, kam, yes? We say love, dove. Love, lobha, greed. Dove, desire. Love, dove. So the heart's beating greed, desire, greed, anger, greed, lust. Desire is lust. But the devotee's heart, the heartbeat of the devotee is, so the devotee's heart, it's beating karun, 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 karun. So there's two sounds, the blood going into the heart and going out of, you know, the heart contracting and expanding makes two sounds. So karun. Karun means compassion. That is compassion. Sanatana Goswami has given us his commentary. So we'll speak on one verse a day as a substitute for the nectar of devotion, because this is the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And you'll see the direct connection between the Dhammadharastakam and Kartik month and Radharani and of course, Damodar, Gopal, and how it, in the nectar of devotion, which Prabhupada called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes different activities that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas should perform for the pleasure of Radhika, especially, and Shyam. And one of them, of course, is to observe the Kartik Vrat. And the Kartik Vrat is called, affectionately called the Radha Vrat. Because Kartiki Devi, Rupa Goswami tells us in Stavamala that that's her name for Radharani. Another name for Radharani is Kartiki Devi. She's the goddess or the queen of this month. Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that this month, he says, generally in India, they call this Damodar Mas, Damodar month, the month of Damodar. But and they say Damodar Vrat, and that's also correct. It's explained like that in the Padma Purana and other places, Skanda Purana, Damodar Vrat. But he, Rupa Goswami Pad, who is our Shiksha Guru in devotion, and our Shiksha Guru as a sadhaka in this body, man, woman. And when he appears in his Vrindavan Sarupa as Sri Rupa Manjari, we have Sri Guru and we have Sri Rupa. Sri Rupa Goswami Pad is our guru as a sadhaka for bhakti, love of Radha, love of Shyam. And when that is, some glorious future successful birth, where we attain perfection in our yoga, bhakti yoga of prema, then we will join Rupa Goswami's school of prema in the spiritual world. Now we're training in the school of prema called bhakti. Bhakti, Bhav, Prema. And there's only one division in the school. There's no grammar school or high school or college. Bhakti, Bhav, and Prema. There's only Prema. And Rupa Manjari will, Sri Rupa, there's Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Guru. Sri Guru, Sri Rupa Goswami. Sri Guru, Sri Rupa Manjari. So Rupa Manjari will be our, in our female form, will be our female guru. so to speak. Of course, there everyone's in that mode of surrender. Shri Rupa Manjri Pad Mora Sambhat. It's my wealth and the purpose of my life is the remembrance of, the service of, and the association of Sri Rupa Manjri Pad. Here in her form is Sri Rupa Goswami, and there is Sri Rupa Manjri. Sri Rupa Goswami says that this month is called the Orja Brat. He doesn't say Damodar Brat, Kartik Brat. He says Orja Brat in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Orja Brat means, why Orja? Because Orja means power. And Sanskrit, the word Orja. It's interesting. We have a word in English, maybe you have in the French or Russian or other languages. We have a word in English called urge. U-R-G-E. Urge. So U-R-G-E means a force. We say the urge of desire. And in Sanskrit, Rupa Goswami calls that the vegam. Vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam. The vega means the pushing, the force, the urge of the indriyas. In this case, vacham. But this makes a perfect, I wouldn't say substitute or enhancement or embellishment of our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu classes, because as I was saying, Rupa Goswami describes this month not as the Damodar Brat or Kartik Brat, although that's certainly an apt and correct name. So he says that this is the Urja Vrat. And Urja is very similar to our English word Urja in Sanskrit, which means power, force, and dynamism, strength. It's similar, very similar, as so many Sanskrit words are, to our English word urge, U-R-G-E. Urge means a strong pushing. Urge of desire, we have a phrase. We have desire. But when it starts pushing us, then it becomes an urge. We have so many desires lined up in our chitta. But some of them take, due to different circumstances. A vasana arises, a vasana, then we become impelled. That's urge. Rupa Goswami calls that urge vegam, pushing. Somebody's just pushing us from behind, like some ghost in a ghostly house. If you've ever been in some old building, sometimes these ghosts have power. I was in Chaitanya College, was in ISKCON, some kind of palace that one of our godbrothers bought to spread the preaching in England, Chaitanya College or something. It was some big place. Yeah, maybe you must be knowing. Some huge old place of some lord or king of England. And they had a big painting on the wall there of his Parivar. It was a hunting expedition, which they often did with all these dogs and horses. And the gentleman who owned the palace, whoever he was, there's all his cohorts and relatives there, faces, a nice portrait, very old painting, a few hundred years old. And his face would sometimes be there on the painting and sometimes not. It'd be like a blank. Everything else is intact, his shoulders, his jacket or whatever he's wearing, a riding outfit or whatever it was. And then sometimes, and I was there, I went preaching there, and as a sannyasi years ago. And someone pointed it out to me because they wanted. And when I first arrived there, I arrived 1 o'clock at night from Bhaktivinoda Manor, so it was kind of late, and they took me to what they call a pink room. They have many rooms. So I stayed in the pink room, which is for sannyasis, etc. And that night I felt the presence of someone that wasn't really very good association, some kind of negative being, because I guess like attracts like. So I couldn't sleep. So then I said, well, let me go upstairs, because there's some stairs. So I'm upstairs and there was some sign that said Brahmacharya Ashram. So I went going from door to door, something like a thief, looking for a floor to sleep on. And every door was locked. I said, everybody's door is locked except mine. So and then I went back down to the room and I'm just walking and all of a sudden pushing from behind. Just like this. hey, Hare, get lost, will you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because these things we know about, and not too intimidated, but they can be a little intimidating, what we call ghostly association, pishachi. Then we also have ghostly association. At any rate, pushing like this, and I tripped on the stairs, and I said, this is not good association. I'm tripping, and in your association, I'm tripping and stumbling on the bhakti marg. That's ghostly association. Causes us to trip or stumble on the bhakti marg. We want to go up the stairs forward and pushes down. Went back to my room and said, well, this is the time to chant Hare Krishna. It's one of those nights. It's almost Mangalarti. It's 2 o'clock by now, 2 a.m. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So they go to Mangalarti. And afterwards, I met the temple president. He said, so where did you stay last night? I said, the pink room. He said, acha. Then very little, English people are very humorous, you know, especially with Americans, they like to play. He said, how did you like it? It's a very nice room, it's reserved for the sannyasi, very big room, high ceilings and desk and so much, you know, opulent facility. I said, yeah, it's nice, it's very nice. But I, you know, there was another sannyasi there, you know, not to be undone, you know, because, you know, it's like that. I said, it's a very nice room. Because he was said tongue in cheek when he was speaking. Like, oh, how did you like the room? So I could have said, oh, I was so scared. Which I was. And I couldn't sleep. And I'm really angry. I'm leaving today. I'm not going to preach over here. No, maybe I felt that way. But I said, to play along. With devotees like to play with each other. So then I said, oh, it's very nice. It's beautiful. It's the biggest, most opulent room I've ever stayed in my travels. And then I went on this, just to let him know that I know what he knows, like that. So urge is his urge. So he calls it urjabrat, because we're worshipping dynamism personified. Dynamic power, Radharani. Urjeshwari. She's not only that urja shakti, which is the most dynamic power which links the jiva in prema with Krishna. She's not only the embodiment of that, urja shakti, or urja, this power. She's the Ishvari, the queen of that, the empress of all that power. Not only is she the personification embodiment of it, but she's the queen. And queen, the nature of a queen within a kingdom is to dispense mercy, to help the praja, the citizens, to give them clothing if they need it, or food, or facility, or land, or anything that they need. King and queen are like mother and father of the kingdom, like Ram and Sita. They were like the mother and father of everyone. Everyone. Every living entity. The human beings, the monkeys, the deer. This is the true meaning of king. King means grandfather. Naradeva. Say the king is a Naradeva. He's the Lord, the father of the men. So she's, now she rules her kingdom 24/7, 12 months a year in Vrindavan. But in Kartik, the queen feels very happy. She feels very, very happy, the queen. Like on her birthday, when someone's birthday is there, she feels very, very, or he or she feels very happy. Of course, we feel a little sad, because for us, birthday means a year closer to death. What to speak of, every day is also a day closer to death. Every minute is a minute closer to death. We have to die to live, as our beloved Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami would often remind us. Don't think you're living. Live to die. Die to live. Don't live to die. That's how he cleverly and beautifully and lovingly put it. It's not just to pinch us, but to push us. It's a pinching statement, but it's imbued with love, so it pushes us closer to Krishna, closer to Sharanagati and surrender. We have to die to live. Oh, you should die today to live. Huh? Wait a minute. That's not very encouraging. My mother says, live life to the fullest. Enjoy. Leave this Krishna consciousness. Oh, you're young, you're beautiful, handsome, strong. I'll give you any money. Enjoy. No, you say, no, mother, I'm practicing dying. I have so many books like that, the Buddhists and others, Art of Dying, this, that, the other thing. Tibetan Book of the Dead, which every college student read in the 70s or whatever. So at any rate, so Urjeshwari, So this is the month when she's very happy. And why is she so happy? When anyone's happy on a happy day, it's a good day to ask a favor or ask for mercy. So this is on this in this month. This is the Milan. This is the Yuga Milan. This is the union month. This is the fulfillment of all Radharani's ambitions, is to be with Krishna 24 hours a day in divine, eternal, blissful union. And that wish was expressed here in this place, which is now called Radhakund or Shri Kund. And because in Bahulastami, her wish was fulfilled when she assumed her liquid rasa, prema rasa filled form, shama rasa and radha rasa, they combined in the sangam at midnight on Bahulastami. And then the two became one. Radhakund, Shamakund extended himself. Shama is always extending himself to the devotee. So he was there, and all the waters were now Charanamrita. He bathed in all the sacred tirthas, the Samasta Tirtha Sakha, that's one phrase in Vishnu's purport, the representative, the friend of all the tirthas, Samasta Tirtha, Tirtha in Hindi, they say Tirtha, Chapali says, Samasta Tirtha Sakha, the representative came out and of course begged Radharani for the privilege. So now all this water is Shamamrita, Charanamrita, Krishna Charanamrita. And through, as Krishna's friend, as Krishna's beloved, appointing this representative, a power of attorney, to the Samasta Tirtha Sakha, Krishna inspired him, come forth, personified, and petition Radharani. We can beg through our own hands, or we can beg through our brother's hands. Our brother has a better relationship with the father. So we see, look, you asked Dad for $1,000, then I want $1,000. If you need a commission, then keep 500 and give me 500. But if you ask him, I'll get it, right? This is a psychology, human dynamics, and a platform of loving exchanges. And we have one student, there's two sisters, and the mother really likes one, she'll give her anything. On the other sister, she won't give anything. And they're from her womb, they're her progeny. This is life, this is love. Love is beyond rules. You can't know the flow or movements of love. So, Sham begged through the Samasta Sakha, please let us serve you. So then Radharani said, all right. And then Krishna extended himself. And then they met in the Sangam. The Sangam is Sangha. What is Sangha? Associated with such a rasik guru. So, tam prasangam mamavirya sambhado. There's different levels of union and meeting. But in the ultimate sense, Sangha means the divine union, Rati Keli, or the divine couple. So this is the place. And one place, when after the Leela of Radhakund and Shamakund, manifesting or Prakat, then they had a Ras Leela. Radha and Sham had a Ras Leela here, which was the intended arrangement to come here in this area, was to have a special Ras Leela. And Vishwanath explains in his purport, I found that he said, he describes in a very special way, which whereas we can't understand very much, but with whatever we can see, is he describes it, he said afterwards in his tika about the formation of Radhakund, he says, Maharas Varshan, Varshan, Varsha means rain. He describes the word, you know, the word Varsha. Maharas Varsha. In Varsha, like we have Varshana. Varshana means rain, no? Rainfall. So he said, and then the translation is there in the VVT. It says that after the formation of Radhakund and Shamakund, and there's some other words there to describe because I have like very weak memory, but it describes that that beautiful blue Sham cloud, of that monsoon cloud of Sham, Ganesham, Sri Krishna, he combined with that beautiful lightning strike of Radharani, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, that golden lightning strike went in, pierced the body with its urge, Urja Shakti, with its dynamism of divine love, pierced that Ganesham, that Ganameg, that rain cloud of condensed prema, and released a rain shower of bliss and mercy, an unlimited amrit of prema that's not available in any other ras, and Chandra Sarovar ras and Vasant and Vasant Ras, which is so beautifully and deeply depicted in Gita Govinda. And then Anara Ras Lila and Vamshivat in Sharad Purnima on Ashwin. It is not described. I will easily be corrected by such an authority sitting next to me. But I never seen this word tacked on Maharas Varshana in terms of describing these two rasas. So that just jumped out of the page and hit my little tiny brain. And because we were a little bit Atman, you know, what do you say? Manyate, Atmana Manyate Jagat? Atmana Manyate Jagat. Prabhupada was our Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami. He was very fond of this idea. We see the world, our worldview is based on our mental position and, of course, our heart's position. See the world according to our own mind. And there's so many philosophers who propound philosophies that the world is in your mind and etc., which we've all heard or read about in our sojourn to perfection at the lotus feet of Sri Guru. And interesting ideas. So this is, having been staying here somehow or other for some time, short time, we see everything in terms of Radhakund as supreme, of which I have a lot of backing for that, Shastric Praman. And we see Radharani's form and seva and experience of ulas and joy and happiness, and Krishna's sangha is greatest here at Radhakund. And I think that's unarguable and unassailable statement that I'm making. I'm opening myself for an argument here. So to remember this divine place, or to see this divine place, or to touch a particle of dust, kan kan bole shi radha radha. From the particle of dust in Vrindavan, kan kan, I believe, means an atom, a very small, minute particle of dust. From the particles of dust to the lataki bole, to the leaves on the creepers. Creepers are very thin and not so prominent. You hardly can see them in a forest. Every leaf on a creeper, every leaf on a tree, the movable, immovable, the particles of dust, the monkeys, the leaves, every movable, immovable entity, seemingly unconscious particle, of course, kan kan is a particle of the earth, particle, dust particle, we say, stita duli, but is also conscious. And in Vrindavan, every particle of dirt is Krishna conscious. Yes? No, you're wrong. Radha conscious. Which the two are always together. Because he was pronouncing or propagating that they're only chanting Kan Kan Bole Sri Radha Radha. So that automatically you can't see Radha without. So Sri, when he says Sri Radha Radha, he says they're all chanting. Every particle of dust is a very popular song 5-10 years ago. Vrindavan me kan kan bole Sri Radha. So they're saying Sri Radha. So Sri means Sri Krishna. Right. We can take Sri to mean Sri Krishna. We say Sri Krishna ki jai. So where is Radha? Well, Sri is Radha. It's the bhav that determines the realization, bhav drishti. So Urjabrat, Urjeshri. So he calls it Urjabrata. So in this prayer, that was just an introduction. Actually, I'll read the introduction, which we've collected from there. Sanatan Goswami's Tika on Damodar Astakam. Srila Sanatan Goswami Padaki. Right. So this prayer, of course, is not something new. It comes from Padma Puran. And what yuga that it particularly manifested in, that is a question I have. And it says that it's a discussion between Narada Muni and this particular sage, devotee, Satyavrata Muni. And he's there. It's a satsang. Shonaka Rishi is also there. So this may give you some idea. But Shonaka Rishi, it says that Shonaka Rishi is there, and Narada Muni, who appears in all ages and everywhere, as you know. And this author of the prayer, Satyavrata Muni, who's a a muni, but he's a bhakta muni, he's a devotee. So the correct understanding of this point is that in Satyuga, that's an interesting name, of course that kind of tips it off. What is his name? Satya Brat. So, you know, so someone who is a big Brati Vairagi in Kali Yuga, he may be called Kali Brat. Kali Brat Muni. I mean, it sounds a little negative, a little dark type. Kali Brat Muni? Is he dealing in Tantra or what? At any rate, a little joke here and there. Maybe that's all I have to offer. But at any rate, he is Satya Brat Muni, who is doing, obviously, he must be renowned for his bratas he performed in Satyuga, because people were named at birth in the Namkarna according to their guna and karma, that which could be seen in their Janma Kundali. So therefore, Prikshit at birth is called Prikshit as a baby. So what does a baby examine? He examines his crib. Prikshit means examiner. He's just like this, ceiling. So eventually he grows up and he's looking, where is that Ishta I saw in the womb? Where is that beautiful form of manifest? He spoke it and cried it, we'd rather say. He cried it out in Satya Yuga, then later, and seems to be in, could be Kali Yuga, Shonaka, or Rishi, who we see in the Bhagavatam. Shonaka's there in Kali Yuga. Kali or Dwapara Yuga, I don't know. It would be Kali Yuga that they had this conversation, Shonaka and Narad. So at the very end of Dwapara, well, that's basically what the Bhagavatam is saying. At the end of Dwapara, a very, very just ray of beginning, sun ray of beginning of Kali Yuga, then this whole Bhagavatam, everything unfolded. So Shonaka Narada, who's Trikalakya, and who's Chiranjeev, he said, listen, I heard this wonderful prayer, and all of you rishis should hear it and take it up. So this Leela, it's told there, I've heard some people say today in Amavasya, but it was said there that it took place tomorrow in Kartik Shukla Pratipat, which is the same day, of course, when Krishna grew up. He seemed to like Kartik, to enact a lot of pastimes with his devotees and different rasas to enrich their attachment and loving experience with him. So then on this same day, Pratipat is when the Govardhan Leela is there. As you know, we do Anukut offering is tomorrow. That's the beginning of the whole thing. So that, is that correct that this Leela of Mother Yashoda, this Damodar Leela actually occurred on Pratipat or Amavasya? So I correct myself. It's a different day. But certainly Kartik month was a popular month. I think, as far as I know, Dhruva Maharaj and Madhavan had darshan of Chaturbhuj Narayan and also in Kartik month. Is that, I believe that I read that. Have you read that? I read that in some books about, because I also take the yatras. I read that it was during Kartik month. Of course, he found it was a fruition of a 6 months tapasya, Dhruva Maharaj in Mathura Mandala and Madhavan. There's Dhruva Tila, which you know very well. At any rate, it's a merciful month for devotees, that we know. So there it's telling in Hari Bhakti Vilas in 16th Vilas, verse 195 and 6. I just listened here the glories of the prayer. Sanatana Goswami, what are the glories of this prayer? He says that it's Nitya Siddha Stotram. It's an eternally perfect prayer. And the commentator, the Acharya commentator, he says that this prayer is so perfect. Nitya means not only 1 month. He said it's so nitya that you can study it and chant it and meditate on it every year in Kartik, which is a niyam and it's an order we must as a bhakta, as a devotee. And every month of the year and every day and every hour. It's so powerful and so perfect. And by doing that, one will become nitya siddha. It's nitya siddha stotram, eternally perfect prayer, and by studying it and deeply meditating for the meaning and praying for the meaning to manifest from the words and from the heart of the author, Satyavrata Muni. Reading Shastra means connection with the teaching and the teacher. It's like you're in a class. You're in a class with your teacher. You're connected with the heart of the teacher and with his teachings. So the teachers take this form, or they take this form. Granta, what do they say? Granta Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat and the person, the Granta Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So this is the way by surrender and prayer that the nuances and the intricacies of the verse will manifest. So that means by hearing how powerful it is, the Acharya is telling us this is an important prayer. It's not because we chant it every day, sometimes in institutional settings, becomes a little mechanical and mindless, and what to speak of, maybe heart devoid of heart, heartless. I mean, it's nice if you're a rasic, then every syllable will send you into orbits of ecstatic thrill. But if you're not a rasic, then, which unfortunately I'm not by any means, then I practically can't make it to the end. And then when I was staying in Radhadamodar, the Gaudiya Matha devotees come in. Namamishvaram sa chidananda rupam lasa kundalam gokule vrajamanam. I said, oh, that's nice. That's the Kali Yuga speed. That's a good speed. I like this. This, you know, you get in a taxi going to Delhi, if he's only going 60, you're really going crazy. And some of these guys do that to you, just to torture you, make you feel more vilap, make you increase your vilap for Vrindavan. Why are you in such a hurry? The taxi's telling you, why you want to go so fast to Maya Nagari, Delhi? Boop, 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 boop. Hurry up, my flight. Taxi's saying, where are you going, man? Slow down. You're leaving your home and going to what you think is, whatever you call it, home, my Switzerland home, my German home, my Japanese home. So this is the Nitya Siddha. Then he says, what is the boon? Because everyone wants benefits. What do I get out of it? What will I get from this bhakti yoga system? What blessings, benedictions, now and hereafter or thereafter? It says, he gives us some ideas here, which is, of course, our eternal ishta. If you worship a deity of Radhika, and during this is a two-pointed verse. It says, if you worship a deity of Radhika, then a deity of Radhika and Krishna, then Krishna will be very pleased by that. And if you worship Lord Damodar by daily chanting this Damodarastakam, then you will attract Damodar to come in your heart. So we're fortunate here because we can worship Radha and Krishna in our heart or in a Chitramurti, a painting in our ashram or wherever, Dharmashala. And we can worship Radhakund. Radharani, Radhakund is Radharani. And Krishna Kund is Krishna, Shamsundar. The Brijvasis, they teach you to see like that because they feel like that. We see according to our feelings. That's what we said, Bhav Drishti. The mother sees one little boy. She has so much love. She'll sacrifice her life for that one boy because her Bhav is dictating her vision and her Bhav is dictating her thinking. But there's another boy right next to him. She won't die for him. So here, the Brijvasis, the Kundavasis, Sri Kundavasis that live here and born here generation after generation, when they have cremation here in Radhakund, the Brahmins and higher class people, they burn on cow dung. They don't want to use the trees because the trees must come somewhere from Vrindavan. And that means a couple of rikshas are being cut to burn their useless body, which they feel. Of course, it's not useless. It's the most useless, most useful form and meaningful form on the planet is a Brijvasi. But they burn on cow dung, which is freely given by Gomata, and then, well, hundreds of cakes or whatever. And then usually, according to Shastras, as far as we know and far as we've seen, the body to be burned is lied face up like this. Swarga Deki, Deko. Look, Swarga Darshan, looking at what we consider up means heaven by our spatial consideration. It can be anywhere. They look up. Is it right? I think the body lies in the back. Brijvasis, they burn them face down. This is not Shastric. This is Shastraninda. They're offenders. Tenth offense. No, I mean one of the offenses. Shastraninda. They're disregarding the Shastra. Shastra Avagya. They're not following the Niyam. Yama Niyam. When you die, there's all these Dasavita sanskaras. So one of them is the Antyasti or whatever it is, a death one. And there's all these rules and regulations. The time, die at night, burn before sunrise, die in a day, burn before sunset, and carry the point of body. There's so many things. On the funeral pyre, where the head points. Why face down? Because they don't want to go to Swarga. They don't want to go back to Godhead. They're living with Krishna and Radha. In Radhakund. There's many Kundavasis, they've never been to Varsana. Varsane Wali Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Radhe. They sing, they honor, they worship Jai. Varsane Wali Ki Jai. Our Radharani is here. So this is preliminary to what I was about to say is how they see Radhakund. But I wanted to give you a little background about other things that they see. Why they lie the body face down is because they have the bhav drishti, which shapes the action and position of their body, which is, goes against the shastra because it's rag. In one purport of Krishna Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada says it's very difficult to understand the Vrijbasis because they're on the Raganuga platform, spontaneous platform of devotion, which we endeavor or try to be Raganugiya bhaktas or follow the path as best we can. But the real representation, the real thing is maybe a little bit quite far removed from what we imagine that we think we are, at least myself. I'm by no means a Raganuga Bhakta. I have no standing there at all. But I can appreciate that what Prabhupada's saying in his purport, living here for some time, in Vrindavan and here, that he's right. Understand them? No. For 24 years I'm here somehow in Vrindavan and 7 years continuously here in Radhakund and every Kartik since 94 by Radharani's mercy. I really appreciate that they're like this. So these type of people, the Kundavasis that won't go to Varsana, there's an eye camp in Varsana. You'll get your eyes fixed free. Take out the cataract, some blockage of your vision. Cataract, you see gray light and everything. And it's a simple operation, and so many groups do this, religious groups, charitable groups, have eye camps in Varsana. And they tell the old devotee, Kundavasi, Brijvasi, you can go there and fix your eyes, you can see Radha Govinda and Radha Gopinath. And they say, no, thank you. I can't leave Radhakund. Now talk about nishta and bhakti, talk about asakti, talk about bhav, talk about prem, we can define it and so nicely and all the symptoms and characteristics and experiences, but to see it, to meet it, to hear someone say that, doesn't that create some kind of samskara, like a volcanic samskara, which is just erupts and, you know, cracks your inner recesses of your deepest realizations of what we thought bhakti was. It's like, okay, where are you and where am I? Please accept this offering of a bag of fruit. Please accept this rubbery. Please accept this cloth. Our holy mantra here is please accept whatever the Sanskrit is. I don't know so much, but what's the mantra for Radhakund? With your hands, something in your hands, which is your heart, hopefully represented somehow, some object, money, this, that. Please accept. And if you accept this and accept me, that's my perfection. Nothing more, nothing less. To be accepted by a Vrijbasi means you're there. Because that's what it's all about, acceptance. Guru comes to accept disciples, they say. So we have to accept the guru. So all right already. Get on with it. What are you supposed to say here? This is an introduction to how they see Radhakund. So when these Vrijbasis, which I described in some small way, we can say more, but they see Radhakund as Radharani, and they when the girls come home and they go do their homework, they tell them. Lali, listen, have you done Radharani Prakrama? Oh, mother, tomorrow's exam. heavy exam. All these kids in India have so many exams, you know, 5 years old exams. And he says, I have to study. No, no. You take your grandmother, you do Radharani Parikrama. Every day. What is this? How you expect? You'll never pass if you don't do Radharani Parikrama. All right. They do Radharani Parikrama. Because they see genuinely, not some fake thing. Really, they feel the bhav that this is Radharani. They see that this, that she, rather this, and even this is the wrong pronoun. They see that she, this body of water, which we call this or it or whatever, they see that she is Radharani. And because of all this, they don't want to go to Barsana, they don't want to go to Swarga, they don't want to go to Vaikuntha, they don't even want to go back to Goloka, Braja Gokul or Goloka Vrindavan. This is Goloka Vrindavan. They never read the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, but they realized it. Here Vrindavan, there Vrindavan. Aprakat Vrindavan, Prakat Vrindavan. There's a difference. The difference is us, because so much bait is in us. So much bait, so much difference. We've separated ourselves from that vision. And everyone knows why. So this is, for them, they see it like this. So therefore, when Sanatana Goswami says, or rather, in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, if someone worships the deity of Radhika and Krishna during this month, then Krishna is very happy, Radharani is very happy, and Rajeshri, who is the queen of this month and queen of every day here, she's especially happy to bestow her blessings and mercy. Karunamayi Radha ki Jai. So here, they have Gopal in their house. Gopal? Yeah, Gopal. And they have Giriraj Baba. He's Baba. He's the grandfather. Every Brijvasi has Giriraj Baba. And then they tell the grandfather, anyway, the real grandfather, so-called this grandfather, tells his grandson or the father, oh, please help me in my test. Why are you helping me? Go to Baba. Go to Baba. Baba will tell you. Baba helps us all the time. Because they're so indebted to Baba, Giriraj Baba, ki, that they every month on Amavasya or Ekadasi or Purnima, they do his Parikrama. Because it's told in Garga Samhita, okay, you offer me Chapan Bhog. Is that for me or is that for you? Do you Brahmins offer me Chapan Bhog for me, Giridhari Shama ki jai, or for you because Chaka Chak? Brahmins are eating on the behalf of the Lord, and certainly they do. And that's good, because they accept our offerings. We do a brata for 4 months, and we invite 21 Brahmins, and we try to feed them rubri and kachori and all nice things, and they accept. And then they feel happy. Chaka chak. Pait polo anande, bhaja rada govinde. That means, probably mispronounced, Pait Polo Anande Bhaja Radhikovinde. If your stomach is full, then you can chant and worship Radhikovinde, sing about them. There's a beautiful phrase, now's my chance, for all my Hindi friends, which I always forget. There's a beautiful phrase in Hindi which says that preaching, prachar, Krishna prachar, Harikata pravachana prachar, is the book. Is the belching of bhajan. Love is such, you can resist the flow of love? Can a dam stop the flow of the Ganga? No. It builds up, builds up, builds up. Then what do they have to do? Baraj. I think you say baraj in India is a dam. Baraj. Baraj. A dam to block the flow of the Ganga. They have in Mayapur all over there in Navadri. So it builds up, builds up. And they hold it for some time and then they have to open it. Open the floodgates. And it floods. So love is like that. It's like a raging Ganga. You can stop it. You try to stop it, then you drown. So if you try to stop love, you'll drown. And if you don't try to stop it and you let it flow, you also drown. Pray Magana, Magana, whatever. Submerge. So this is the idea. We worship Radhakund and Shamakund or our Thakurji.